Merry Christmas. You know, lights are just an inseparable part of our Christmas celebration. You would think of Winter Haven here in Tucson, or even the zoo lights, or maybe in your neighborhood somebody just went really crazy and put all kinds of lights on. And it's hard to think of Christmas without Christmas lights. I mean, they just go so well together. But how did that tradition form? How did we get this tradition of lights with Christmas? Because if you think back to the original Christmas story, really lights weren't a big part of that. Yes, a star led the wise men to the baby Jesus, and the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds in the field. But really, the lights as we know them really weren't a part of that first story. The beginning of that begins to go back centuries. Centuries ago, before there was electricity, you're probably aware, but maybe we're not as aware these days as it was before electricity, that the December nights are the longest nights. It is dark for so long. And so, you know, back especially in Europe, before electricity, people relied on a fire for light, not just for warmth, but also for light and candles. And one of the traditions that was a part of Europe was a thing called the Yule log. You might have heard of that. The Yule log was usually a particular kind of wood, the hardest wood they could find, oftentimes a knot that would burn a long time. And the Yule log was burned continually as a way to invite the sun to come back and to keep the evil spirits away. Well, Christians didn't really want to buy that kind of an interpretation, so they reinterpreted the Yule log, that the Yule log would be a symbol of Jesus, because Jesus is the light. It was a symbol that he was the light of the world. He was the one that would bring spiritual blessing. And those Christians really got the essence, the heart of what Christmas is all about, that Jesus is the light that leads us through the darkness. And that's what that Yule log kind of communicated, that reminds us that Jesus is that light that will lead us through the darkness. And in that same period of time, it was very common for people to put candles in the windows. And the reason that the candles were put in the windows is because it was really a way to let strangers or visitors who were out in the cold and the dark to know that if they needed a warm place, a place of light, they were welcome to come in. And after time, once the Christmas tree tradition began to develop, a few people got the idea that they could put the candles in the Christmas tree, which wasn't a very good idea. After a few homes burned, people realized that that was a bad idea. In the 1880s, the Thomas Edison Company created the very first Christmas lights, and it was a hit. It actually hit the front page of the papers. And then a few people who could afford those early Christmas lights, because they were very expensive, would put them on their homes. And once mass production hit and they could produce lights at a cheap cost, then that whole idea of lights really took on with both Christmas trees and decorating our house. And that's what we have today in this amazing tradition. And the Guinness World Record for lights on a home belongs to an Australian lawyer this year who put 1.2 million lights on their home. I'm sure he must have paid somebody to do that. Can you imagine what happens when you have 1.2 million lights? And by the way, if you were to tie them together and stretch them, they would go 75 miles long. That's like from here to Sierra Vista. I mean, that's incredible. And you know, so this tradition is taken well. Well, the Christmas light and connection actually goes back to a prophecy that was made 700 years before Christ. Pastor Roger introduced it to us last week. It's found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, page 479 in the Bibles in the seats in front of you. And this prophecy is written as a prophecy, but it also is written as if it has already occurred, which is oftentimes how prophecy is written. 9:2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." The idea of darkness is often used to describe spiritual darkness. In other words, it's the spiritual condition of life without God, particularly life without Jesus. And we all experience that. This biblical theme we see both Old and New Testament, we experience this sense of spiritual darkness in so many different ways. Sometimes we feel the darkness as we experience the shame of our sin or our failures. We sense the darkness as we try sometimes to hide those sins or maybe addictions as if we could hide them somehow in the darkness so that others won't see them. We have the difficulty of seeing and understanding the truth of God, because we live in this dark culture that so easily influences us and confuses us about what the truth is. Our fears are exaggerated when we live in any kind of spiritual darkness. It's easy to lose our way in the dark. The darkness pictures for us evil in this world and the sin that's in our hearts. It represents the absence of God. It represents, at least when we feel like His goodness is not present. And that's why this prophecy reminds us that in the midst of this darkness that we all experience at different times, in different ways, we need a great light. And a great light has shined into our world of darkness. The prophecy isn't over, because then Isaiah, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, reminds us of what this light is all about. And we get to the crux of this prophecy. We get to the heart of what Christmas is all about. It unfolds in that same chapter, chapter 9, verse 6. And this verse, chapter 9, verse 6, has become the centerpiece of our Christmas celebration for centuries and centuries. It was so powerful that in 1741, Handel, who wrote this incredible musical composition called The Messiah, used this verse as a part of that very incredible composition that he did. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. The kingdom of God will come through him, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now, what's surprising about this is not that the light is a person. What's surprising is that the light that now we're beginning to understand that's going to shine into this darkness is a child. A child that we don't see as being a powerful warrior or somebody who has status or has some kind of intrinsic ability that we would think that could really make significant change, but this powerless child. A son that's given. Of course, we know his name is Jesus Christ. Now, there's a vital detail in this prophecy. And it's not just that Jesus was born. I mean, you could think of a child being born as just the natural process of a husband and a wife, or you could think of it even as an accident that might have happened. But this child was given. Not just born, but given. And given to us as a gift. And so right at the heart of this is the sense that God has given us this incredible, powerful gift. A gift that we needed. The greatest gift. A gift that we could not earn, and we certainly didn't deserve, a costly gift, an intentional gift, the Christmas gift. A child, a son. The only gift that could be the light that would lead us through the darkness. And this light, which is a person, has a name. Now, in Hebrew culture, remember that name always has the sense of one's character. It's not just a name so that we can call somebody. The name represents something about their character. And this light, this Messiah, this Jesus doesn't just have one name. He's got four names in this prophecy. And it takes eight words to describe this incredible light. So each name has two words. So what you've got is compound names. And all of that is a literary way to describe that this light, this child, this son is so great that we've got to find the greatest way that we can possibly name him. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want us to look at each of those names in a little more detail. And as we look at those, there's a question I want you to keep thinking through. Is this the Jesus, as described by these names, is this the Jesus that you know and experience? Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful, it goes right back to the very sense of wonder, which goes to the sense of miracle. This light is all about miracles. The miracle of not only God coming into this world, but the miracle that God, Jesus, died on a cross for our sins, that God raised him from the dead on the third day, that he sends back to us his living spirit that transforms the human heart. That is the miracle. That's the miracle that we need and we celebrate today. He's a wonderful counselor. Now, when you think of counselor, don't think about a shrink and a couch. Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. This is the sense of a counselor, of one who's a statesman, one who's a king. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is wise, and he is able to do what we need the most. He is a wonderful counselor. He is a miraculous king who can accomplish whatever we need to be led through this spiritual darkness that's all around us and sometimes in us. And so the question is simply this: do you experience this king who still does miracles? Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. The word mighty in the original language in Hebrew literally means hero. He is mighty. He is a hero. He is strong. He is courageous. He is one who will look evil, who will look darkness straight on and face it. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He experienced death, and yet death could not hold him. He is mighty, and he is our God. He is nothing less than God himself, all powerful, all wise. And so the question is, who are we following as we face the darkness of this world? Are we following a mighty God? Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Everlasting, no beginning, no end. Jesus was before time. He created time. Time has no power over him. He will never cease to be God. He will always be with us. He is an everlasting Father. He's a Father who cares for us like a Father, who loves, protects, guides, protects us. And I realize that some of us have had really great experience with human fathers. Some of us have had not had great experiences. But he is a Father whose love is so deep and profound that nothing will ever crush that. He cares deeply for us. He will protect us spiritually. He will guide us. He will provide what we actually need. He is a forever daddy. So the question is, are you experiencing his profound love and care as a forever dad? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A prince is a ruler. And when we choose to follow Jesus, we invite him to be the ruler of our life. His ways are to be trusted and to be followed. And if we will trust his ways and follow his ways, then that will result in what is the very best for us. And he's a prince of peace. It's the word that greatly characterizes who he is. You see, the whole reason that Jesus came was to create peace between us and God. There was a time apart from Jesus that there was hostility between us because of our sin, because we didn't recognize God for who he was. And so Jesus coming in flesh, living amongst us, dying for us, being raised from the dead, all of that was to bring peace with God. And as we have peace with God, we actually have the opportunity to experience peace with ourselves and to know what it means to have peace with other beings, with other humans, as we follow his ways, as we trust his ways as the Prince of Peace. And so the question is, are you following this Prince of Peace? And is peace evidenced in our lives, in our experience with God, in our own internal experience, in our experience with other human beings? This is the Jesus that I've come to know. There was a period of my life where I lived in darkness. And maybe my darkness wasn't as dark as yours was or is. Maybe mine was worse than yours. It's not about comparing how dark the darkness is. We've all had those times. And sometimes we'll still experience some times of incredible darkness. And I knew what darkness was. I knew what it was to be in my guilt and not have any way to deal with my guilt. I knew what it was like to not have a sense of purpose and direction, being lost, literally. And I discovered a light. His name is Jesus, who would lead me through the darkness. And it transformed my life. It's why I do what I do today. I do what I do today, not because I need a job, not because I need a paycheck. I do it because Jesus transformed my life. He transformed the direction of how I live. He made a significant difference in all of my life. He was the light that led me through the darkness and continues to do so. Jesus is the light that leads us through the darkness. And he is the only light, the only great light that can do this. And until we get to heaven, we need a wonderful counselor. We need a mighty God. We need an everlasting Father. We need to follow the Prince of Peace if we are going to move through the darkness that's around us and in us. And so that Christmas night, some 2,000 years ago, a child was born. A son was given. And the government will be on his shoulders, meaning that he will bring the kingdom, the influence of God into our world. And that Jesus who was born grew up and about age 30 began a public ministry that lasted about 3 years long. And in that time, he began to do miracles. The reason that he did miracles was to show people that he wasn't just a mere man, that he was God himself. He did things only God could do, like raising people from the dead. And he taught. We have what we call the gospel, the message of Jesus, which is the light that leads us and directs us. And then he raised up disciples who would carry on the work that he began and continue the message that he began. And as Jesus was revealing himself, he made a profound statement I want you to look at what he said in John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12, 746 in the Bibles that are in front of you. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There you have it. He's the light of the world. He's the light in our lives. But there's a condition. The condition is that we have to make a decision to follow him, to follow his ways, to trust him. That's the condition if we're going to experience the guidance, the protection to be able to move through this darkness. That we've got to make that choice. And that only as we follow him will he be able to lead us through the darkness. And so we have no fear of death, the ultimate darkness. Because he's promised that as we follow him, we will have life that will never end. Even though we die, we will live. We don't have fear of the punishment for our sins. We don't have to live in the darkness of shame because he's promised he will forgive our sins. And he has reconciled us. He's brought us into relationship with God. We don't have to fear that. There's no need for us to hide our secrets in the dark places. He knows. And though he knows all about us, he loves us without condition. We call that grace and mercy. So we don't have to hide things. And he's given us the direction of how to move through this dark world that we live in. We have the light. I'm going to ask our servers, if you would, please prepare for communion and offering. And because we have this light, we have reason to celebrate this Christmas and every Christmas. The darkness has been made powerless by this great light, Jesus. I suspect you've already been doing this, but I want you to do this now, if you haven't. I want you to think more carefully about the darkness in your own life. Maybe this is a period in which there's darkness. Maybe you've just come through a period, or maybe you even sense that there's a darkness that's coming. And sometimes we can see these things coming, sense them. Maybe it's fear. Fear over any number of things, or anxiety about finances, about relationships. Maybe it's about a relationship that's failed, or a huge challenge in a relationship. Maybe it's this emotional darkness that you're experiencing. Maybe it's the darkness of being lost. Not literally lost in the sense of not having a GPS, but the sense of not having a clear purpose. Not really knowing, why am I here? What is all of this about? What is my role in this? Maybe there's that lack of clarity that's that darkness. Maybe it's the darkness of sin. Maybe an addiction. And then the shame that comes with that sin and addiction. Maybe it's the darkness because of actual death of a family member or loved one. These are dark experiences. We can't avoid them in this life. They have been a part of our life, might be right now, might be a part of our life tomorrow. And those dark things can lead us to dark places. And sometimes we can even get stuck in those dark places. The darkness is a perpetual struggle for all of us until we move past this life into eternity. But here's the message of Christmas. To live in the darkness is a choice. To live in the light is a choice. We can choose darkness or light. And Jesus said, whoever follows me will not walk in the darkness, will have the light of life. That's the hope, and that's the promise, and that's the joy of the Christmas story. A great light has shined into our dark world, into our lives. And Jesus is the light that will lead us through the darkness. As we experience the light of Jesus, what God wants more than anything is that we would be enlightened, so to speak, by Jesus, that light would become so real in our lives that we could be able to influence others who are experiencing darkness in this world. That's why for the last several months I've been talking about just a simple idea called pray for one. You know somebody in your life who's struggling in darkness, who's experiencing that spiritual condition of not having God in their life, of not knowing the hope that's found in Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to pray for one person that you know that's in darkness, that needs light. Pray that God will work powerfully in their life, miraculously in their life, that there will be an openness to talk about the things of God, that spiritual conversations could happen, that God would use you to be able to serve and love that person and have an opportunity to share with them about the light that you've experienced in Jesus. As we receive the light, we want to give that light to others. As we have experienced God's blessing, we want to be a blessing to others. And so I want to encourage you to pray for that one person. We've got these bracelets that are at the kiosk, the guest services kiosk in the courtyard, if that'll help you remember. But pray for that one. That the light of Jesus this Christmas wouldn't just stay with us, as important as that is, but that light would spread, that the kingdom of God would advance, that God's influence would move through our world. We're going to take communion now. And if you are visiting with us, if you have made a decision that you want to follow Jesus, we invite you to participate with us. The servers will pass the communion tray, take the cup and the bread, and pass the tray to the next person. And as you're holding the cup and bread, I really believe that as we practice and celebrate communion, every week this is a time of decision. Maybe for you, this is a time when you will first make the decision to follow Jesus. This is a great time to do it. You hold the cup of juice, the piece of bread, as a reminder that Jesus died for us. He sacrificed his life so that our sins would be forgiven, that we could be in favor with God through what he did for us. Maybe it's a time to make that decision for the very first time. And if we've already made that decision, this is a time to remember that we made that decision, to recommit, that we are choosing to allow Jesus to lead us through the darkness of our lives as a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. After communion, we take an offering. And as you give, you contribute with others who are giving, and allows this church to be the light of Jesus in our community and in strategic places around the world. It's one of the ways that our influence grows and magnifies as together we're able to make a difference for others. Let's pray. Father God, some of us right now are experiencing a profound darkness because of our sin, because of loss, confusion. We need light. We need Jesus to guide us through the challenges of this dark life. And we're so thankful that you made the decision to give us the gift that we needed most, the gift of your Son, the light of the world. We are grateful in Jesus' name. Amen.